It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. On this West Virginia morning, we hear how young people in Appalachia are supporting each other during the coronavirus pandemic.
We can't go back to the system of the way that we've been living our lives for so long. You know, we have the opportunity to completely transform our communities.
And a new program aims to support postpartum moms. This is West Virginia Morning. The coronavirus is taking a terrible toll on nursing homes in the Ohio Valley. Well over 1,000 residents and staff at nursing homes in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia have tested positive for COVID-19, and dozens have died. Residents in these facilities are already more vulnerable and in many cases were running low on protective equipment before the pandemic. Becca Schimmel has more.
Coronavirus has made its way into long-term care facilities right as the flu season was letting up. Betsy Johnson is the president of the Kentucky Association of Healthcare Facilities, a trade association that represents nursing facilities across the state. She says facilities in the region were already running low on personal protective equipment after a significant flu season.
We were utilizing our supplies for the flu season, and then this hit. Of course, the supply chain got broken because a lot of this equipment is made in China, and so we were not getting the supplies shipped to the United States.
Johnson says most of the PPE has been given to local hospitals, leaving nursing homes in continued short supply. Kentucky has limited visitation at nursing homes except for family members of residents who are receiving end-of-life care. In West Virginia, the association representing nursing homes issued a plea last week for more protective equipment. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine issued an order Monday requiring long-term care facilities to notify families within 24 hours if someone at the facility has tested positive for COVID-19. An attorney representing nursing home clients says not being able to see residents in a long-term care facility presents its own challenges. Misty Van Treese is a partner with Kentucky Elder Law. She says she's been hearing concerns from family members about not being able to see their loved ones and know how well they're being cared for.
One of the big ways that when we have a loved one who is in some type of care, that we make sure that they're being taken care of, that all their needs are being met, is laying eyes on them.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
The coronavirus pandemic is affecting all of our lives, whether we're working from home, worried for our health, or unexpectedly out of a job. The change can be especially hard for young people who may depend on hourly jobs or university meal plans to get by. Sydney Bowles brings us the story of a group of young people banding together to help one another through it all, using a strategy called mutual aid.
Micaiah Davis lives in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. He's 23, and until recently, he was a server.
So I went working at the Woodbugger up in Norton, Virginia. It's a restaurant, and the governor announced there's no more dine-in. And then I am about to, currently about to file for unemployment, as we speak.
18-year-old Lara Helene of Mount Sterling, Kentucky, says she's also struggling.
I'm a musician, so all of my gigs through the beginning of June have been canceled. So I've lost a lot of income. And then I live with my grandparents, and I also, my great-grandparents and my great-uncle live on the same plot of land as us, and they're all immunosuppressed, so I've been doing all the errand running, all the grocery shopping, while also trying to keep up good grades, and then also do mutual aid work.
Mutual aid. It's a phrase at the heart of a youth-led campaign that arose in response to the coronavirus. The Youth Mutual Aid Fund is a partnership between the Stay Together Appalachian Youth Project, or STAY, and KSEC, the Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition. STAY Project Coordinator Lou Murray says the idea started when area schools started to close.
When Berea closed, was all of a sudden it was that realization of there are a lot of young people who are going home to places that, or don't have places to go to. And there were, people come in from West Virginia University who are I'm, worried that I'm gonna have to walk 2 miles to the library to get access to internet.
Casey Gibson, a coordinator with KSEC, had a similar idea.
I reached out to Lou just to see if Stay was doing anything because I figured we were probably on the same wavelength.
Working together, Gibson and Murray raised money and announced that people under 30 could apply for up to $200 for things like rent, groceries, internet hotspots, medication, or gas money. Mutual aid, the organizers said, is just people helping people.
It's that basic human principle of reciprocity.
For these young people, the work that's happening now is about more than crisis support.
A lot of times we say that we're modeling the new world and that we're building the world that we want to live in. And we can really see that now. And I look at people who are doing work, movement work of all kinds, and I see the community and the networks and how strong and resilient we are. And I can see how much we have for each other and how much we have to give each other and to hold each other.
We can't go back to the system of like of the way that we've been living our lives for so long. You know, we have the opportunity to like completely transform our communities.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Some areas of fog and frost this morning, becoming mostly sunny today with highs in the 50s. Chance of rain or snow tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Partly sunny Thursday with highs in the 40s and 50s. There's a chance of rain on Friday with highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by La Quinta Inn and Suites by Wyndham in Morgantown, located off Interstate 79 and offering access to University Town Center, West Virginia University, Milam Park, and both Morgantown hospitals. Reservations at WyndhamHotels.com. One in nine new moms will experience postpartum depression or anxiety. And giving birth during a pandemic makes an uncertain time even more stressful. Mon Health just launched a new project aimed at supporting new parents. Carol Lofton spoke to nurse navigator Jennifer Bender, who is heading up a new program which aims to screen, follow up, and provide support services for new moms and families.
When women are pregnant, you go through this period where you're increasingly seeing more and more doctor's visits. Like, you know, the more pregnant you are, the more often you go and you're checking the baby. And then after the baby is born, I mean, women are really told, good luck. Like, you know, you did good job. Baby's healthy. Like, you know, we'll see the baby back in a couple days. But for moms, it's just really this drop off. Is this enough for supporting postpartum women?
It is not enough. And the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have put out a new recommendation saying we need to see moms sooner, more frequently post-delivery. And so our facility is changing that. We are making sure we, number one, screen moms with what we call an Edinburgh postpartum depression scale. We also do it in pregnancy to kind of get a baseline of where they're at, because some people, this starts in pregnancy for them. So what I do is follow up on all those screenings by text message, by phone call, however I can get in touch with you. I'm also a lactation consultant, so I can help with any feeding issues or problems, concerns. They need more follow-up. So what we're doing, I started in this role January 13th, and I am reaching out to every woman that delivers at Mon Health. If somebody reaches out to me that didn't deliver at Mon Health, that's fine. I'll follow up with you too. And eventually, you know, the program will expand. This is a three-phase program for us. And there's only 13 programs like this in the country, which is way too low. So that's what we're doing. We are increasing the amount of follow-up, how frequently they come, and just getting them more resources.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, like, you know, when there is the perinatal depression support group, but I mean, on some level, when I have talked to new moms, it is, we just need new mom support group. Like, this is hard. People don't, you know, I don't feel like I was prepared for how hard it's going to be. Like, I love my baby, but, you know, you know, I'm drowning essentially. And, you know, how much of it is just, you know, being able to say, you know, I'm also experiencing this, me as well.
If you're asking, are people just not prepared enough? You're never prepared for your first baby. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many kids you've been around, how many kids you babysat. The 24/7-ness of it is overwhelming to everyone, you know, no matter how prepared you are. Do we need to give moms more support? Yes. But then you also have moms that have a hard time saying, I need help. I have a different screening tool that asks, do you have a hard time asking for help? Yes. Yes, I do. I like to do things myself. And so believe it or not, moms that are able to ask for help more readily tend to do a little better than moms prior to having a baby like to do it all themselves. And as Americans, we love to be independent. You know, there's a lot of pride in standing on your own two feet and doing it yourself. Well, we're not really meant to do it that way. We're meant to do it with support. So, you know, that's the other key is, can you reach out and get support? But also, you know, I have people say, well, I gave them my number. Why didn't they call me? I told them I'd help them. Well, when you have a new baby, you're lucky to get your clothes on that day, let alone make a phone call. So that's why I feel so strongly about reaching out to them, not waiting for that phone call, because by the time they reach out, they may really be in the pit and it takes a lot longer to bring them back up.
Let's talk a little bit about postpartum depression for dads, because I think this is something that is really not understood. I mean, you know, and especially in West Virginia, where in sort of rural South America, where you have a more macho culture here, you know, are people able to ask for help when they're experiencing postpartum as dads, or do people even know that's a thing?
Well, definitely many people don't know it's a thing. Here's an interesting thing about this whole dialogue. Postpartum depression, anxiety, mood disorders, the whole shebang, it crosses all socioeconomics, all education levels, all ethnicities. It has absolutely nothing to do with how many children you have. There are some risk factors. Poverty is a slightly increased risk factor. Having a previous diagnosed, you know, anxiety, mood disorder, definitely a risk factor. Otherwise, it hits everybody. So no matter where you live and how much money you make and how great your house is, this can hit you. So I hate to say it's an equal opportunity, but it really is. So yeah, we need to talk about how it affects dads. Their role has changed. There's a lot of responsibility on them. Their role has changed with their partner. You know, now she's a mom and not just my wife. Her whole everything in her life has shifted to this little baby, and he also feels ditched in the corner. So yeah, it's a struggle.
You work with women who are navigating postpartum life, you know, every day. You know, if you had a takeaway for those women, like if you have one takeaway, what would that be?
The takeaway is you are not alone. Many people experience this. It is okay to ask for help. And with help, you will get well again. It's not going to last forever. And when you're in the midst of a trial, a storm like this, it feels like it's never going to end. And that's the worst part of it. Like tomorrow is not going to feel better, but it will. And that's the most important thing, is to get help. You don't have to struggle. You're not alone. Many, many women and some men experience this, and there is help available, and it will get better.
That was Mon Health nurse Jennifer Bender speaking with health reporter Carol Lofton. Bender is in charge of a new program aimed at supporting postpartum women. She said due to the coronavirus, they've moved to an online weekly format for their support group. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health and Charleston Area Medical Center. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.